and welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Monday. It is the 12th day of September 2011. Hope you had a great weekend. Talk about rain on Saturday night in the Tucson area. Real odd monsoon. Good rain at the very start of the season. Now big time rain at the end and very spotty moisture in the middle of the season. But heck, we will take that moisture whenever we get it here in the desert. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show, and it is KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. I keep getting reports from people who say they are getting KVOI in downtown Phoenix. And we drove up a couple of weeks ago and we were listening to KVOI, certainly all the way up to that Chandler area where all the auto malls are. Then it started to kind of fade out, but it certainly gets into the Phoenix area. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there along with an archive of our previous programs plus the Buckmaster Show. Thanks to our new agreement with the TucsonSentinel.com. You can hear the Buckmaster Show anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on the home of the Buckmaster Show, KVOI. The lineup for today's show, the Monday Political Face-Off with commentators today, Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash. Then at the bottom of the hour, a half-hour special reflecting on the past 10 years since 9/11 in the military and foreign affairs arena with the former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army and former head of all U.S. and U.N. forces in Korea. We'll be talking with retired General John Wickham. Buckmaster Show is interview-driven, but we encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll-free at 1-866-725-5467. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com. or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And we continue to get some great story ideas. My producer, Rosemary Brandt, and myself, we look them all over. If there's a particular guest you would like us to interview, please contact us. Let's begin now with the Monday Political Face-Off. In one corner, we have Paul Eckerstrom. He is to my microphone left, so I guess that's appropriate. And Bruce Ash is to my right. Mr. Ash is the Republican State Committeeman for Arizona. And, of course, Paul Eckerstrom has been very active in Democratic politics. I think you're the vice chairman right now, Paul, right, of the Pima County Democratic Party. And I want to begin with President Obama. I'll begin with Paul. President Obama really is stepping up the push today for his job creation plan. This is a $447 billion plan, and he believes the blueprint for economic recovery and putting people to work is this blueprint.
Yeah, no, it's all that should have been, the original jobs program that he proposed back in 2009, I don't think was big enough, and it was too heavy on tax cuts. And not enough on infrastructure, actually putting people to work, which has a ripple effect because not only do you put the construction worker to getting a highway rebuilt or a school renovated, but that person then can go out and buy things, and it helps retailers. The rebar and the asphalt and the concrete, those companies do much better for all this. I think this is exactly what's needed, and it's been needed, and it needed to be bigger when he first did it in 2009. This is what will get us to recovery. It's mixed in with some tax incentives for small businesses, which I think is good. It's also extending the payroll tax, which is good, which will help people buy a few more things during the next coming couple of years. And he is proposing paying for it with a proposal to the super committee on deficit reduction, so that would be revenue neutral. And then get this, I think basic part of that is going to be getting rid of the Bush tax cuts for the very wealthy. And that after this is done, after the 2 or 3 years where you're actually doing this, then what happens is that money can go directly to deficit reduction.
Bruce Ash, will this get us to recovery as Paul is contending?
Probably not. It's not up to the federal government to create jobs. It's this is old style Democrat politics being engaged in again, Bill and Paul. You know, for 2.5 years, the president talked about jobs, jobs, jobs. We heard about the summer of recovery. We heard all of these glowing promises. But what we've received from the federal government has been more regulation, higher taxes, problems like Obamacare that's set to kick in shortly. That leaves a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace with the business community, The president always seems to want to go big. He went big with the $787 billion stimulus. Very, very little results flowed from that.
And I disagree with that.
And now he's talking about $450 billion when really, if the government would ease back on regulation, would consider tax cuts, which might stimulate investment here locally and get capital back onshore from overseas, as well as act on many of the foreign trade agreements, which have been waiting and languishing now for well over 2 years.
Yeah, and the Republicans won't pass them. That's the problem with those. I don't understand. The Republicans don't
Paul,
want to pass.
I'm sorry, you are just mistaken.
No, I'm not. I'm not. The Republicans will not pass anything that Barack Obama proposes or is going to be good for the economy.
You know, I hear that from you all the time. Paul, that is just whining. That's all it is.
The reason is they don't want to give him
any feather. What happened for the 2 years when you controlled both the Senate and the House,
Bruce,
and had absolute majorities?
You know, you talked. I get a chance to talk, okay? One of the things that should be understood here is I believe the stimulus package was not strong enough on jobs. It should have been bigger. And here's why. The Republicans, I remember, had been talking about, we got out of the Great Depression. When the New Deal didn't get us out of the Great Depression, Franklin Roosevelt didn't get us out of the Great Depression, World War II got us out of the Great Depression, and you know, we were slipping back into the Depression in 1937. Well, the reason we were slipping back is we started an austerity program after the New Deal proposals, which weren't big enough.
Can we
guess
talk
what?
About 2011 guess and 12?
Guess what? The most massive jobs program ever invented was the World War II. That got us out of the Great Depression. The problem was in Barack Obama's first stimulus program, it wasn't strong enough and big enough on jobs. And this one gets to that point where we can pull out of this bad economy.
It's 12:12 on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. We are ready to go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Mike, you're up next. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. The question I have for both guests is that once we build the new bridge or enlarge a highway or hire new police officers, and then the jobs are gone and done with 6-8 months, a year from now, who's going to go and pay for all the maintenance or the repairs? Or in the case of, you know, hiring new cops, you got to pay for their their retirement and all. I mean, that's all going to come out of local taxes then. So I think we just dig ourselves deeper holes when we have the federal government go and spend money locally in the county or the state.
Okay, Bruce Ash. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, great point. And to your point as well, when you've built those bridges, well, so then what are you going to do the next stimulus on? You know, it's interesting that the president has focused his program on federal and state funding that, by the way, are going to require little Davis-Bacon rules to be followed. This is a great advantage for his union friends who have invested almost $500 billion since he was elected president and will spend a whole bunch more before he's done. But what is he really doing for businesses that create jobs that are employing people on a long-term basis? What are we doing to really properly focus our whole investment strategy here in this country? And that's just not happening.
Well, let me say one thing. To get out of a bad recession like this, you need demand stimulated, because guess what? Those businesses that Bruce talks about aren't going to hire people until they see demand and until you get that demand going. The only way you do that is to put people to work. And, you know, Dwight Eisenhower, Republican president, was the one to put the biggest government works project on the books, and that was the interstate system.
Now, early 50s.
In the early 50s. And now it's 50, 60 years old. And of course we need to reinvest in that to get those bridges rebuilt, because they're crumbling. We don't want a school bus falling into the Mississippi River like happened in Minneapolis. again. We need to start doing that. And frankly, that's good for our long-term economic progress because we need transportation systems to support our private businesses. And so it's a win-win all the way around. We get long-term investment, at the same time put people to work right now to stimulate the economy so that they can go out and buy things and create the demand that Bruce's private industry needs to get going again.
The last great stimulus program or job creator that the Democrats proposed was extending the unemployment benefits. Look, I will tell you that the government does not innovate. They regulate. And in fact, this particular jobs bill is so flawed in that one of the key components is the continuation of this tax holiday on Social Security, which further sets into decline the financial life and health of Social Security. This entire job scheme is not what the nation needs any more than we needed Obamacare, spending trillions and trillions of dollars of taxpayer money.
Is this job creation plan a good idea? Perhaps you would like to weigh in. 790-2040, 790-2040. We'll give you a chance to call in as we take a break here. This is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show, so stay with us.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Piero Amori presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Piero Amori. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Piero Amori in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at pieroamoripizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 1220. This is the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show. We're very pleased to be here, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice and The Voice Network. Monday political face-off. The topic today, what President Obama is calling a common sense job creation plan. Let's go right to the Buckmaster Show live line, and Gary is on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Gary.
Thank you. I just wanted to say to the gentleman that's representing Mr. Obama that I'm a small business owner, and listen to you, you really don't know what's going on, number one. And number two, everything I've heard from Mr. Obama, beginning with his speech in the park in Chicago when he won the election, is reminiscent of Chicago politics. I spent 10 years in Springfield, Illinois, and on numerous occasions went to Chicago to do business. So I know how it operates, and he just moved his office from Chicago, essentially, to Washington, D.C.
Okay, thank you, Gary. Let's hear from Paul Eckerstrom. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, you know, the problem with the Republican solution to everything is lower the taxes for the very, very wealthy, give big tax breaks to big corporations, not to small businessmen, and then they supposedly are going to create jobs. Well, we did that for 10 years under Bush, and you know, it hasn't worked. We've had bad job creation, and I will say one other thing is, look, if the Republicans want to keep harping on that over and over again and not do bottom-up stuff. Within this thing, we do have – there's tax cuts and tax breaks for small businesses, specifically small businesses. And on top of that, you have putting people directly back to work, which will create demand for those small businesses so they can sell things to people. And if we don't do that, we're never going to get out of this recession. If they want to run politics on doing stuff for the really rich in this country – and hurt the middle class and working people and small businesses, if they want to continue that, all the polls show that everything in this plan, people like. People like this plan. They've been screaming for this plan, hoping for this plan, and Obama's now giving it to them. And if the Republicans want to kill it, then they're going to take a beating at the polls next November. I guarantee it.
Look, if the president wants to increase employment here in this country, he's going to end excessive regulation. He is going to take away power from the heavy-handed EPA, who has been burdening industry across this country. He is going to turn the National Labor Relations Board into an organization that favors workers rather than union bosses. He is going to discontinue threatening to raise taxes. And with respect to debt, he's going to do things that reduce debt more than what we're doing today so that there's not this kind of uncertainty about where we go with our national economy. The amount of debt to the GDP is going way, way out of control, and there's really literally nothing. And we've now added another $500 billion of debt through this.
He's making
Paul,
proposals.
You know what?
He's
you
making
whistle,
proposals
you can
to
whistle
pay for
down,
it.
You can whistle down you know, that path. It's going right to the graveyard.
If you want to defend tax cuts for the very wealthy – that could help pay for
Paul,
this. Where
50%
the
of Americans don't pay taxes.
I hear that over and over again. I don't believe you're right.
I'm
you
sorry to bore you with
that.
The facts.
And Bruce has said that many times.
Yeah, well,
here in this.
Guess what? I mean, a person can go when they are giving their taxes. You know, you look at Warren Buffett. He pays 17% of all taxes. 17% of his income on all taxes. He's a billionaire, and his secretary pays around 35% to 40%. All taxes on everything.
You're playing
and,
with numbers,
you know,
Paul.
No, I'm not
playing with
numbers.
You're playing with numbers.
And look it. there's certain fairness involved in all this. And until the middle class is actually treated fairly.
The government is not about fairness. It's about opportunity.
Treated fairly. We're not going to get out of this.
The government is about protection. It's not about fairness, Paul.
Okay. Interrupt me all you want, Bruce. The plain fact of the matter is
I'm not going to let you drone on about stuff that you're clearly wrong about.
The Republicans for years now have declared war on the middle class. They have shrunk it. They've hurt it. And as a result, our economy is suffering for it. And until we start to actually make sure that working people get a fair break and get some of the same type of tax cuts that the big corporations and the big really wealthy people in this country get, then we're never going to get out of this because – if you don't have a middle class that can go out and actually buy things, our economy is done.
But that's what I want. Before we go to another call here on the Buckmaster Show, and I think are we ready to go? Well, let's take it right now then. Another call on the Buckmaster Show live line. This is Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry. You're with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. There's something that people keep forgetting about. When you tax a corporation, who do you think is going to pay those taxes? They're not going to pay them. They're going to go and take those taxes and make us pay them indirectly by increasing the amount of their product.
That's so, right, Jerry.
So Jerry is saying, Paul Eckerstrom, that it's just going to be passed down to the consumer.
That may be true, but I'd rather have some guy out there being able to get a job and work and go buy something and me pay a little bit more in a consumer product.
You'd be willing to pay a little bit more.
So that our society is better off and everybody has a job. Of course I would.
Well, Paul, I'll let you pay my taxes.
Well, I'm
well.
Sure, Bruce, because you make a lot more money than I, and so you get
this
you want more tax cuts.
It's all about
I understand.
Class warfare. You know, Paul, I'll make my estimated tax payment here in the next few days.
Your quarterly tax payment.
And you know, I do it. I pay whatever I'm supposed to pay. The problem isn't that the rich guys aren't paying enough. Okay, the rich guys, if you'll call them that, and you know, call them whatever you want, they pay approximately 80% of all the revenues that come into the Treasury, Paul. If you want to talk about fairness and reducing the debt and reducing our deficit, it's about spreading the tax base amongst all Americans better than what it is today. Do we have in this 67,000 page Internal Revenue Tax Code, do we have the best law that maybe we should be considering? I don't think so. And I don't know exactly what the answer is, whether it's a flat tax or a fair tax or what. But what's going on now clearly is not working. And the answer is not more taxes. And you can hardly find an American around, except for Paul Eckerstrom, who wants to pay more taxes.
I'll tell you something. Look, the big corporations and their lobbyists get the carve-outs and the tax deductions in this tax code. If you want to go to a simplified tax program that's maybe three-tier progressive, I'm all for it. But get rid of all the deductions that favor all these really powerful people and companies in the country.
Like, you mean like the home interest deduction?
No, I'm not talking about that.
Now you're already carving
out. I'm talking about you know tax cuts and tax deductions for big oil companies that don't need it. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You know that.
Big oil companies or General Electric, which is a servant of the Obama administration, is strictly being rewarded for innovation and for technology development that they're doing.
Well,
because for every one good idea or for every
GE doesn't pay taxes.
Or for every one and
not a dime.
Hey, Jeff Immelt was involved in all of those deals with this president over the past two and a half years.
It's not the tax code that this president put in. It's the tax code we put in over the last 30 years. And let's face reality. You know, the little guy didn't get a break and a big bailout in this bad economy. The little guy deserves a bailout. And this is what this is. It's a bailout for the little guy, the working guy, the guy that goes out there and tries to put food on his table and keep a roof over his family's head.
Hey,
this is what this is about. Yeah, and if the Republicans want to kill it, so be it.
Hey,
it'll hurt our economy. It'll hurt our country. But in 14 months, they may be out of a job.
Yeah. Hey, let's go to a success story where Republicans saw a need here in the state of Arizona, cut the deficit, and now we could be looking at anywhere between a $300 and a $600 or $700 million surplus in the state budget. That's good news for the taxpayers here in Arizona. It's good news because we see that there's apparently more robust business activity, even though Paul and his fellows, who, by the way, contributed absolutely nothing to the state budget, contributed absolutely nothing.
Because they were shut out.
Contributed absolutely nothing to the success that we're now facing. And now the question coming from the whiners like Paul and his ilk are, well, you know, are we going to give it back to the teachers? I don't know. I think that the governor would probably be a lot smarter if she looked ahead to 2014.
That's going to do it. Okay, looking ahead to 2014.
When Obamacare kicks in, which is going to cost us another $100 million, as well as when the sales tax comes off.
Thank you very much. Bruce Ash, Paul Eckerstrom, the Monday Political Face-Off. Good action today, and a lot of folks contributing on the phones. Thank you very much. And we will be back with General Wickham talking about the 10-year period since 9/11. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A woman whose mother died on United Flight 93 says today's ceremony in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where the plane went down, brought her some peace of mind. Remains of those killed aboard the plane were buried today in a private ceremony. The White House is spelling out just how the president's $447 billion jobs plan would be paid for. It would rely on a series of tax hikes that have been previously proposed by the White House and rejected by Republicans. Six oil workers who were rescued alive after floating for several days in the Gulf of Mexico, said to be stable and conscious, but suffering from bumps and bruises and sunburn after enduring a tropical storm. The Dow is down about 75 points. The NASDAQ is off 2. More details at srnnews.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection at Golf Links and Kolb and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Coming up on 12:34, this is the Buckmaster Show and the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice and the Voice Network are stations in Douglas and in Globe listening to us as well. We certainly have Southern Arizona covered. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. Well, certainly over the past week or so, Americans have been reflecting on the 10-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on America. One question emerges over and over again, and that question is, are we safer today than in the late summer of 2001? Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line to explore that question and some others is the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham. General Wickham is the former U.S. Army Chief of Staff and commander of all American and U.S. forces in Korea. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He is now retired in Oro Valley. General Wickham, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Bill. Thank you very much. I feel very humbled and honored to be on your program the day after the anniversary of 9/11.
Well, we've all been doing a lot of reflection. I know you have as well. And let's begin with that question. And I think you would agree with me that that seems to be the overriding question. Are we a safer nation today than 10 years ago?
Well, first, Bill, like every American, we were horrified by the event, attack on America, and an attack on civilians. Unlike Pearl Harbor, which was largely an attack on military installations, but still, it was an attack on America, and I think we were horrified by that, and our hearts and prayers went out to all those that suffered. And your fundamental question is one every one of us have asked, are we safer today than we were 10 years ago? And I think the answer has to be, yes, in most respects, we are safer. Why? Because, number one, we have largely done a job of undermining Al-Qaeda and the terrorist organization that produced the 9/11 event. We've destroyed Osama bin Laden. We've destroyed his deputy. We've cut off much of the funding. Our intelligence operations have gathered an enormous amount of information, and we're acting on that, and we have prevented a number of attempted attacks, one on Los Angeles, for example, and others, because of that very thorough intelligence analysis. So, and that's one aspect. Another aspect is, as you know, Bill, we have organized a number of institutions in the government, the Homeland Defense Department, the FEMA structure. We've centralized all of our intelligence agencies under one control now, so that all of that now makes us much more quick to react and much more able to gather knowledgeable information so that we can work on it. So I think we are better off. And I think our leaders, President Bush, of course, suffered the impact, but I think Osama bin Laden, Obama has done an enormously effective job in reacting to events here. So I think we are safer.
General Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show. If you have any comments or questions for the general, he would be delighted to take them. 790-2040, 790-2040. I think the cuts to defense spending that we're hearing about are troublesome to many, especially in the Raytheon area here, and many families here in Tucson worrying about that. What are some of your thoughts, General?
I think we have to be, as Americans, we have to be concerned about that. As we went back to the earlier point, are we safer? Yes, we are safer, but if we aren't careful, we may undermine our ability to respond and to gather intelligence. The deficit reduction action that was taken a month or so ago by the Congress and the President is going to involve some $400 billion, that's billion, B, cuts in defense spending over the next 10 years. That kind of cutting is going to cut into some muscle. And now we've got this committee of 12 members of the House of Representatives and of the Senate that are scheduled to come up with more cuts, and they may involve more cuts to defense. And we've got people like Bob Gates and others who are very expert, and even our current Secretary of Defense, Panetta, is saying, gosh, we cannot go beyond the cuts that are already planned. Otherwise, we're going to really undermine our defense capability. So I think as Americans, we have to be very mindful of that and cautious and urging our political leaders, don't undermine our defense capability. Bill, as you know from your long public service, the most important service that a government provides for its people is to keep them free and secure.
That is so true, and I think there are lots of concerns, as I say, about these proposed cuts to defense spending, and I think there are concerns around the world as well. The Wall Street Journal today had a piece about America keeping 3,000 troops still in Iraq and wondering, is that really enough? And then we also heard, and I know you keep abreast on all the major publications, the New York Times, many in power in Iraq are asking and are starting to really worry now about America leaving that country.
That's a good point, excellent point. It was an excellent article in the Wall Street Journal, and the argument is that 3,000 isn't enough to do anything other than to look out for themselves, and yet the 3,000 will create all of the animus and animosity that's extant in Iraq. Muqtada Sadr, the Shiite leader, Sunni leader of a faction, has claimed that the Americans are going to become a target for his militia people. Well, I think we have to come to realize that we've invested enormously to assure that Iraq can be a reasonably democratic government in that region. And for us to walk away and let things go to the devil over there, I think would be wrong. We need to do the job right. However, it's up to the Iraqis. If the Iraqis do not want any of us there, so be it. We should leave. We should not intercede and say, wait a minute, we believe we should stay, and we're going to insist on it and keep some bases over here. I don't think we should. And the same thing applies eventually to Afghanistan. I just read an enormously effective book by Peter Thompson, a State Department retired man. It's called The Wars of Afghanistan. And he makes the point there that every nation that has touched Afghanistan, Britain, the United States, Russia, has found defeat. And we've got to get out of Afghanistan eventually, and we've got to turn over everything to the Afghans. They're the only ones who can understand the nature of the war, understand their tribal problems, and solve their dilemmas. And we cannot impose what we think on them the way we have in the past with Vietnam, for example.
General John Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show, and I want you to weigh in, General Wickham, on that Wall Street Journal opinion page from Friday, September the 9th. The question was 9/11, did the United States overreact? And the journal asked a group of leading national security thinkers to respond to that question. And I was wondering what your thoughts were. How would you, if you had been asked to supply an opinion for that piece, what would you have said?
To a degree, we did overreact. I think there was a great anger. Look what the anger that occurred after Pearl Harbor, and a declaration of war grew out of that, and the prolonged World War II offensive against Japan. One could argue that going into Iraq was a needless event. But that's going to be debatable for the future, and historians are going to argue pro and con about that. But some will argue that that was an overreaction. We probably should have finished the job in Afghanistan, which we started after 9/11, and we left Afghanistan and went into Iraq and allowed the Taliban to take over the country, and now we had to go back in again 8 years ago to try to get rid of the Taliban. And a great painful war there. So I think on balance, I would say yes, we probably did overreact a bit.
You know, I think you're on to something, General Wickham, and I feel that if we had, as you say, We had the support of the world after 9/11 pretty much in Afghanistan. And I think when we changed courses and went a different direction, we lost support with some allies. And I think it was a real turning point rather than, as you say, finishing the job in Afghanistan.
Exactly, Bill. And, of course, people that are really astute in the terrorism issue and the region of problems in the Middle East all come to the conclusion that the epicenter of terrorism lies in Pakistan, not in Afghanistan. It lies in the so-called federally administered tribal area, these ungovernable provinces in western Pakistan, the sanctuaries where the Taliban and other insurgents can find, as we saw in Vietnam and Cambodia, can find some opportunity to regroup and refit. And it's a very difficult area. And we're finding that the Pakistani are not really going after terrorism the way we believe they should. They say one thing, yes, we're doing it, but they're doing something on the other side. They're helping and abetting the terrorists in Afghanistan through this federally administered tribal area. And the reason is that the Pakistani military in particular views Afghanistan as a threat that India could use to surround Pakistan. So we've got some serious problems in terms of dealing with Pakistan, a nuclear-armed nation about 190 million strong Muslim. And I don't think we've got it all together. When we lost Richard Holbrooke, a good friend who was the bulldozer that appointed by Obama to dominate our policy in that region, we really lost an individual who could make a difference, and we haven't gotten anyone to replace him.
It's 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. General John Wickham is with us, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. We'll be talking more with General Wickham. General Wickham, take a break there and listen to our fine list of Buckmaster Show sponsors. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with you. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Okay.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and 5th Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:51 on the Buckmaster Show. We are very thankful to have the former U.S. Army Chief of Staff and Commander of all U.S. and United Nations forces in Korea with us, General John Wickham. At least once a month, General Wickham is a contributor on military and foreign affairs to the Buckmaster Show, and he is on the Buckmaster Show live line. General Wickham, thanks again for being with us.
Well, thank you, Bill, and I listened to your sponsors. You've got some very high-quality sponsors and very well done.
Thank you so much. And one of the goals of this business, and I will say we are celebrating somewhat of a milestone here, I had, when I put a business plan together, I had hoped for a dozen, 12 very quality sponsors. And over the weekend, I'm happy to say we are now at that 12 level. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Somewhat of a celebration. We talked that the world, you believe, is a safer place 10 years after 9/11, but the world is still a very dangerous place. Turning to Asia, an area where you have a lot of expertise, North Korea certainly continues to be a big problem. And also China is also an area we must watch.
No doubt, Bill, as we talked earlier about are we safer now? Yes, we are. But the reality, one of the realities that grew out of 9/11 is how vulnerable Americans really are in this country. We have lived a wonderful, relaxed life, a democracy which is open, and that's one of the values of democracy, brings with it a vulnerability. And the terrorists that we face have got a mindset that is not amenable to the democratic way of life. And they are seeking and will continue to seek to overturn our way of life and to harm us in any way they can. And technology and time is on their side. We've seen some of the clever things that they've tried to do to harm us. And so I think while we can say we are safer, we need to recognize that we remain in harm's way for the future. Now, you brought up a bit about North Korea and China. China is obviously one of the greatest nations on the face of the earth in terms of size and in terms of economic growth opportunity, and it can be a good friend to us and has been helpful to us in many, many ways. My oldest granddaughter, for example, is studying Mandarin Chinese and has been in China and is going back again as an illustration of how students are trying to build a bridge to China. But China does pose some challenges to us by its ever-increasing military capabilities. They've launched an aircraft carrier, and their defense budget, while it's modest compared to ours, is growing, and China could threaten us in the future over Taiwan, which they claim is part of China, and we agree it is part of China, but China will say if they don't want to agree to join us peacefully, then we may have to do it forcefully. North Korea is another troublesome area, you point out, and you've been watching this carefully. The real problem with North Korea, a nation of about 23 million people, is that it's a basket case economically, and yet it has six nuclear weapons and the makings of six more. It is ruled by an erratic leader, Kim Jong-il, who is now seeking to create a situation where his son, Kim Jong-un, who's only about 27, will be the heir apparent. Now, there's some debate going on in China, according to intelligence, that by the military, they're not sure they want to let this Kim Jong-un to be an heir apparent because he has no experience whatsoever. But there's some unrest because of that. A famine in North Korea is awful. And the North Korean leaders were just in Russia a few weeks ago, working out a deal with the Russians to provide food aid as well as oil and energy to help North Korea deal with this crisis. The danger is that North Korea could export nuclear capabilities to other countries. We think that they were involved in building a nuclear capability in Syria some time ago, which the Israelis took out by a strike.
General Wickham, in the remaining few seconds, we have a new leader, of course, at the CIA, General Petraeus. And I didn't realize in 1987 you were in line to become the director of the CIA. Can you give us the real bottom line story there?
Yes, Bill, that's interesting you brought that up. About the time I was ready to retire, I was asked if I would go to the CIA, and I agreed. I was nominated by the Secretary of Defense to President Reagan to become the director. But there were some objections to that based on my military background. They thought they ought to have a civilian, and so I didn't go. It turned out fine. I was happy with the development. But military people have been there. I think Dave Petraeus, whom I know very well, will be absolutely superb. He's a brilliant, aggressive officer who understands the world that we live in today. He knows intelligence, knows how to use it as a military commander, and he's, I think, close to the leaders in our government, and he will be very effective.
Quickly, we're running out of time, but I know you take a very active interest in the veterans of this country, and you try to do quite a bit of service with the local veterans. Are the vets any better off than they were a few years ago, do you think?
Oh, yes. They really are, Bill. They're never off as well as they should be, but they are far better off. As an illustration, the Obama administration has put more money into the Veterans Administration than has been put in there in the past 30 years. And they have created an arrangement where the VA's budget is approved 1 year in advance so that the VA facilities all over the country can plan on hiring and on building and getting medicines. No other hospital in the United States can do that. So, yes, we are better off. I've been down to our local VA place, as you have, and it's one of the best in the United States.
And the morale seems to be really good at the VA hospitals these days.
And part that's been due to quality leadership down there. Gardner, is head of the VA facility here, very aggressive in trying to get more capabilities there. And, of course, our beloved Congresswoman, Gabby Giffords, was on the, still is, on the Veterans Affairs Committee. And she was number one in terms of getting things moved ahead for the VA, including our own. And we all pray and hope that Gabby Giffords is going to come through this awful incident of the attempted killing. And she's making great progress, I understand. And we hope that she's going to be back sooner than later.
Yeah, it sounds like she'll be giving an interview to Diane Sawyer, so that's a very good sign that she's willing to do a public interview like that, so
well,
we really wish for
I've
the best.
I've been a big supporter of her politically and look forward to helping her again.
We're going to have to go. General Wickham, a pleasure. Have you already done your 10 miles on the bike yet or what?
Not today, Bill, but I will later today. God bless.
God bless, and safe travels to you, General.
Thanks.
We'll look forward to talking to you in October. General John Wickham on the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants. We are located at 29, Flowers, Rieger, located at 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. We want to thank General Wickham. We want to thank Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom for a very lively political Monday face-off here on the Buckmaster Show. We will see you tomorrow. We will be live noon to 1 right here on KVOI, The Voice and The Voice Network. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.